I'm looking for a verse of scripture for Sunday night singing. We clapped our hands. I'm wondering if we can get something where we stomp our feet or do one of those things. Two announcements before I get into the message tonight. First of all, ladies in the ladies' Sunday school class will be meeting out here in the auditorium next Sunday morning for Sunday school. You will not be going back there. There will not be a Sunday school opening. We are going to be showing a video, and Mike said it will start promptly at 9:30. So no hanging around out in the hall. You shouldn't be out there anyway. You should really be in here for the opening. But get in here right at 9:30 and then Carolyn kindly volunteered to keep Karen Hall for August 18th through the 21st. Rosemary came and said that she'll take her out for Friday lunch, but if we have somebody for a Thursday lunch, that would be good, and then I think everything will be taken care of. So if you can do that, see me or Carol later. All righty, if you will, open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. There is a commercial on TV. It has been on TV for a couple of years. I just saw a new one just yesterday that asks a very, very, very profound, life-changing question. The question that is asked is this: what would you do for a Klondike bar? Oh, come on. And the gist of the commercial is people will do some crazy things, seemingly crazy things, because in their opinions, the Klondike bars are so, so good that it's worth doing anything in order to obtain. Interesting commercial. I want to take off on that tonight and ask a very truly profound question. What will you do to accomplish the will of God? Tonight, we're looking at Jonah, and I've titled the message, Man Overboard. And my question is, are you willing to go overboard to accomplish the will of God? We're going to look tonight at some different responses, if you will, some opinions. I'm not really sure. I've been trying to come up with the right word, and I haven't really found it yet. How people view the will of God and how they would respond to it, what they will do. And I, being a preacher, I try to alliterate all these things. And the first one that I came up with was called caustic opposition. Caustic meaning abrasive, such as an acid would eat away things. And it's the idea of Noah, or of Jonah here in the very beginning of the book of Jonah, when the Lord's will comes to him and says, arise, go to Nineveh, and I want you to do my work there. And Jonah says, I am not going to do that. I mean, he stands not only in a passive sense, but a very active sense, and he's going the opposite direction. He says to God, I don't care what you say. Very caustic. And he takes off. And basically, as we looked at last week in the sovereignty of God, God says, well, we'll see about that. And he brings to pass the wind and the waves and the sailors, and they finally recognize that the calamity that they're enduring has been caused by Jonah. That's where we pick up the story this evening. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. These men, remember verse 10 said they were very afraid. God was demonstrating his sovereignty over all of creation. And God had demonstrated his sovereignty over the throwing of the dice, so that that Jonah was identified as the one who was behind the calamity that they were enduring. And when Jonah said, "Well, you got me," the men were quite afraid, and they recognized that there is a sovereign God out there who doesn't particularly care when his will is being opposed. I said that kind of benignly. Let me restate it accurately. There is a sovereign God out there who is absolutely upset with man when his will is opposed. And here are sailors that had never even considered the will of God before, and they're brought face to face with the sovereign God of the universe. They're recognizing we could perish in all this. And they're asking Jonah then, well, what can we do to either appease this God or get on his good side or cause this tribulation that we're enduring to cease? And Jonah tells them, I know the reason that this is happening is because of me. If you get rid of me, you get rid of the storm. Your lives will no longer be in peril. Everything will be fine. This is what I am going to call callous cooperation. Callous meaning insensitive. Jonah really recognizes what needs to be done. But if he was really in agreement with God, if he really wanted to accomplish the will of God, why would he say to the men, throw me overboard? Why not actively jump overboard? Jonah was callous about the will of God being done. You guys throw me over. I'm not going to do it myself, but I'm going to be a little passive about this. And it really wasn't cooperation at all. Notice the response of the sailors. They said, oh, wonderful. That's easy enough to do. Let's get them, guys. And that didn't happen. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Nice idea, Jonah. But we're not going to do that. I am going to call their response conditional cooperation. You see, what they were worried about is, Jonah, if we throw you overboard, it may be good for us, but we know it's not going to be good for you. We're too far away from land. You'll never make it. You are going to die. And this very God who is doing all these things is going to be angry with us because we've killed you. So they tried to row toward shore to get him in close enough that maybe he could make it on his own. And they couldn't do it. They had a desire to be obedient to the will of God. They were willing to expend themselves by rowing hard. But the problem was, they weren't really willing to do the will of God. They were willing to do it on their terms. It was conditional. God will... we'll do what you want, but we want to do it our way. Because your way doesn't make any sense. Your way is going to cause harm. There's a better way of doing this, Lord. You've never said anything like that before, have you? Once or twice or 15,000 times. It's conditional. Wherefore they cried, verse 14, unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Lord, we don't have any other way. We've tried and tried and tried to do it our way, and guess what? Our way doesn't work. And God's saying, well, isn't that a revelation to me? But it was a revelation to them. And finally they said, we have no other alternative. We'll do it, but we really don't want to. This I am going to call casual opposition. You say, wait a minute, they're doing the will of God. How can you say that's opposition? Well, actually, I'm not saying it's opposition. Jesus is. For he said in the Gospels, he who is not with me is against me. These guys weren't with him. They didn't want to do it. They were going to, but they weren't for this thing. And Jesus is saying, in not being for me, you're really against me. You cannot be casually involved in doing the will of God. That really is opposition. When God wants his will to be accomplished, he wants it to be done with the absolute fervency, with a total dedication. And he's saying, oh, we don't want to do this. Because what they're saying is, if we do this part of the will of God, then God's going to be angry with us for killing him. And it really isn't going to amount for anything, and I don't know why we're doing it. Conditional cooperation that turned into casual opposition. But nonetheless, they did it. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea. I'll bet you can't guess what happened. He did. And the sea... Why do I ask these stupid questions? And the sea ceased from her raging. I'm not too sure that the sailors were really surprised by that. I'm sure there were some of them that said, oh my goodness, can you believe? And I might be reading into this, but I just have the sneaking suspicion that as soon as Jonah hit the water, I mean, it ceased. It wasn't that it just casually died down. I have a feeling it ceased, which would have been an absolute miracle, because that doesn't happen naturally. And the reason I say that is, look at verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. If it was just a calming down of things, well, yeah, that's pretty interesting. They might have explained it, well, you know, that's a coincidence. We threw them in and it, man, there must have been something to it. But to be fearing exceedingly, I have a feeling it just, there was a miracle involved. And consequently, they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. These men's lives were changed, because they did what God had asked them to do. Even though it was not with their whole heart and not with their fervency, God demonstrated to them that he honors his word. But what about Jonah? He is still being very, very passive. He is allowing them to throw him overboard, but he's not really on board with the will of God. He's doing it because he feels bad for the sailors of the ship. But he's not doing it because he feels, I'm in sin. And I think Jonah at this point in time is fully expecting to die. And he's saying to himself, it is better that I die and these men be spared something that they're not responsible for and the world go on. Jonah at this point had no sense that he was ever going to make it to Nineveh or anywhere else. Wait a minute. Look at verse 2 once again. Arise. Go to Nineveh. When the will of God said go to Nineveh, what was the power of God going to provide for Jonah? to go out in the middle of the sea and be thrown overboard and perish? No, he wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus had fed the 5,000 and they came, and according to John chapter 6, they were going to make him king, he constrained them to get into the boat and go to the other side while he went up into a mountain alone to pray. And they got out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and the winds were contrary, and they were rowing with all their might and making no progress whatsoever. And they see this person coming, walking upon the water to them, and they thought they were going to die. This isn't good. Oh well, we tried. We got in the boat, we rowed, we did what we could, but I guess the will of God isn't that we get to the other side. Wait a minute. Go to the middle of the lake. Go to the other side. And Jonah couldn't get that through his head. And how many times, when God has demonstrated what His will is, we get halfway through it and we think, oh, we're going to perish. This isn't going to work. Oh, well, we tried. As you and I read the story, the unfortunate thing is we're familiar with it. We know verse 17, and I'm going to save that, for, Lord willing, for next week. But just look at it. Just take a glance at it tonight. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And in that time, God is going to be working on the heart of Jonah till he comes to the place of cheerful cooperation. In Jonah chapter 2, he prays and he cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly, and I cried, and thou heardst my voice. And God hits the ejector button, and Jonah is coughed up on dry land. And Jonah, guess where he goes? Nineveh! And you know what? As he begins to go through Nineveh, I think he says to himself, this really isn't a bad thing after all. I can do what the will of God. Now, in the back of his mind, he's still thinking it probably isn't going to produce any results. But at least I did what God told me to do. And we'll see later on in chapter 4 as we get there, the people repented and God held off on the calamity that he was sending their way, and it made Jonah angry. Now, wait a minute, God, that's not the way it's supposed to work out. His cheerfulness turned to disgust. What will you do to accomplish the will of God? Will you be like a Jonah initially, I'm not doing it? Have fun. You might head for Tarshish, but I can guarantee you where you're going to end up. Will you try a little callous cooperation? Oh, well, do whatever you have to do, but I'm not going to get involved. Just play passive or casual opposition where, you know, it's just go along with the flow. Will you conditionally cooperate? I'll do it if. Isn't it interesting how many people will tell the Lord that they're willing to get saved if God gets them out of a predicament? Lord, I'll trust you if. Lord, I'll serve you if. First thing that needs to be done is you chop off the word Lord. Because if you're saying if, he's not Lord. Lord is a sovereign one. Lord is a master. Lord is the one who says jump and you say how high. So I will serve you if, but not Lord I will serve you. If it's Lord, it's I will serve you, period. But I sure would appreciate it Or will you be cheerful and just say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? One way or the other, God's going to get His will accomplished. Just depends on whether you want to be involved in the results of it and the rewards for it. What will you do? Not for a Klondike bar, but in order to accomplish the will of God. Are you willing to go overboard voluntarily? Father, tonight, help us to see that You are a God who works out His will for good, not death. Help us to be cheerful in our cooperation with You, allowing ourselves to be used however, whenever, wherever, in whatever way, to accomplish Your purposes, that we might glorify Thee on earth, that we might one day hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I pray these things in the glorious name of Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen. Have a good week.